Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Welcome to another edition of Real Science Friday. Today is going to be laid back and enjoyable, I think, because a dear friend from the University of New Orleans, formerly, now the president of the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship, is in studio, Dr. Ed Boudreau. Dr. Ed, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Pleasure to be here, Bob. Thank you.
You've been here before. We've had some great shows. We had you on and Kevin Anderson recently.
Fabulous show.
Microbiologist talking about how God designed the human genome.
Marvelous.
Wasn't it? That was just a glorious show. So today, a couple of the things I'd like to talk about. You're a Katrina transplant to Colorado.
That's right.
That's right. That evil hurricane, the wrath of nature. Actually, we live in a fallen world. Things break down.
Right.
And a lot of people lost their homes and their livelihood.
Yeah.
So you're now in Colorado. When did you get here? How long after Katrina?
Within a month.
Within a month you were here.
September 2005.
And, you know, God has blessed us through that terrible tragedy, that natural catastrophe. Two of the most important organizations in the state of Colorado, Christian groups, are run by New Orleans Katrina Transplants.
Wonderful.
You are the president of the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship. You guys bring speakers in from all over the country, even from around the world.
Yes.
Brilliant scientists to tell us about, to enjoy God's creation and how we know evolution's not true and creation is.
Trying to get the truth out.
Right. The other group is Colorado Right to Life, Pastor Joe Riccobono is the president of Colorado Right to Life, and he's a Katrina transplant.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Doesn't God do marvelous things?
God does marvelous things. And both groups are cutting edge, both groups.
Yes.
Necessary for the health of the body of Christ and to save our country.
Oh, yes.
Creation.
Absolutely.
And stop killing children.
Absolutely.
Right? Praise the Lord. So could we do this? Now, I know you're going to be speaking tonight about the human population.
Right.
Could we put that off a few minutes?
Sure.
And talk about whatever's coming up. Could we do something that's coming up soon and something that's coming up like later this year, next year, whatever? What speakers are coming in to Denver?
Well, for the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship, we have a speaker coming into Denver in June.
All right.
In the June meeting, which is the second Friday.
Because I know you guys plan some really fascinating folks, and you got to plan well in ahead to get in their schedule.
Sure.
So who's that?
This is Dr. Jerry Bergman, a fabulous scientist and creationist, well known.
He's one of my favorite authors. He writes for the major creation publications.
Most prolific author I know of right now.
He is. How does he get the time to write all this?
I have no
He's
idea.
Been a professor of biology, genetics, chemistry. He does all this stuff, microbiology.
Yeah.
Do you remember where he got his degree?
He got it in Ohio. I forgot what the university
medical,
was. Medical degree.
Medical college.
Medical college.
In Ohio, that's right. And Wayne State University, he was there. So he's coming in, and what is his topic? I remember he had a book called Vestigial Organs, Fully Functional.
Very popular book.
Now, that book, that was a classic, right? Now, I don't know the studio audience. I don't know. Does Natalie know what a vestigial organ is? Vestigial organs. Could you explain it, Dr. Ed Boudreau?
Well, these are organs that we have in the body, such as the appendix and the
tonsils and and the hypothalamus, which is
which,
a gland.
Can be removed and we can
or a section of the brain
and live pretty normally.
Right.
So they're called vestigial because they're supposedly leftover from evolutionary remnants.
Yeah, so evolutionists had identified at one point dozens of vestigial organs that they say these are organs that are useless. They don't have a purpose. They're left over from evolution, and they take a lot of them out. And now the thinking has changed because they said, you know what? When they used to say these things, I think they thought the pituitary gland had no function. Well, I forget the list. It's like 40, 50, 60 organs they thought had no function. And Dr. Jerry Bergman wrote a book, vestigial organs are fully functional because, guess what? They have a function.
Yes, indeed. That doesn't mean you can't survive without them like you can survive with one lung, one kidney.
One lung?
Yeah.
One leg?
And one kidney, whatever.
One arm?
Sure.
One eye?
Sure.
Right. And in fact, the appendix, they now are saying that the appendix has a reservoir of good bacteria.
Yes.
For if you're ill and your intestines get all the good bacteria wiped out, well, how are they going to get repopulated from the appendix? Just brilliant. You know, things that the engineers who looked at the human body, they thought, well, that thing's not needed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
A lot of fun. So the evidence for creation is everywhere.
But his latest books are on dealing with the issues that go on in dismissing people from professional organizations because they're creationists.
Academia and all.
Academia.
Like Ben Stein's movie Expelled.
Yeah.
Right? What's the name of Jerry Bergman's? This is his
Slaughter of the Dissidents.
Slaughter of the Dissidents.
He's in the third volume now.
Third volume, and you lost your career because of being a courageous creationist.
Basically true.
Has he talked to you?
Yes, he has, and he's going to include my case in this third volume.
Whoa, that's exciting. Yeah. Now, I remember Dr. Ed Boudreau, when you were in the studio, we talked about Louisiana's Balanced Treatment Act, where they said that if a school is teaching evolution, they should also teach creation.
At least teach the alternatives to evolution.
Teach alternatives.
And did not specify Bible as a source.
Okay. All right. So teach creation as an alternative.
Yeah.
And that was a law that was introduced. And you were becoming well-known. Actually, I would say you were becoming a lightning rod because – I just pointed to a picture of lightning in the studio – because Dr. Ed – you were a professor of chemistry at New Orleans University, and you became a creationist.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, late 1970s, and then I was approached by Louisiana Senator Bill Keith at the time if I would give professional testimony regarding the Balanced Treatment Act on the issues of science and creation, which I did.
Which you did, and that was the big story, really, in the state of Louisiana, in fact, around the country even.
Correct.
And the law passed, and then it was challenged, right?
It was challenged by the ACLU.
And it went all the way up to
Supreme Court.
The U.S. Supreme Court. And the U.S. Supreme Court, because they were Republican justices, I mean, seven of the nine are Republican justices,
yeah,
Ed, and they hate creationists. Right now, the current, they hate creationists, and they're pro-choice and pro-homosexual.
Oh, yeah.
What's with that?
Well, at that time, the law was struck down not because of
separation of church
and state.
No.
It was struck down because the court said there was no need for a law. You could teach alternatives. It was already allowed.
It was already allowed. The fact that not a single school had the courage to do it.
No, because the ACLU would jump all over.
Right. They'd sue them. And so the ACLU, we looked that up on, where do we check that? Wikipedia. We try to find out what does that stand for, ACLU. We found it stands for the Antichrist Legions of the Underworld. ACLU.
Yeah.
I guess that's not their actual.
Yeah, that's really what it is.
Yeah, the American Civil Liberties Union.
Yeah.
So, yeah, wherever they can work against God. In Missouri, you know, we had our personhood amendment last year, 2008, statewide on the ballot to vote for the God-given right to life of the unborn child here in Colorado, right?
Yeah.
And, in fact, Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship, you guys helped us get signatures, and you're doing it again. Ed Massey.
Right.
He's helping getting signatures, even at the meetings. Like tonight, there's a meeting.
Great, yeah.
I bet you he'll be getting signatures for personhood.
Well, we pray he does.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I only thought of that because on this week, the head of Missouri Personhood was on this show, Gregory Thompson, and they're being sued by the ACLU to stop personhood in Missouri. They are the Antichrist Legions of the Underworld.
Yes.
Yeah, they hate God.
They are. Oh, yes.
They hate children. Anything that's godless or perverse, they revel in it. They love it. So we got a problem.
We certainly do.
But we're not giving up,
are
we? We've
got many problems.
Dr.
No,
Ed,
we're not giving up.
We're not giving
up.
The Lord wins the war.
We're fighting the battles. He wins the war.
We're fighting the battles. And right now there are battles all around us. They're teaching kids that they evolve from animals in school, and then the kids behave like animals.
Yes.
And they kill one another like animals.
Yes.
It's so terrible.
Oh, yes.
So, Dr. Ed Boudreau, so you were asked by the Senate to testify. You did testify. The law passed. It went to the U.S. Supreme Court, which the majority have been Republican justices for as long as I've been alive. Mm-hmm. And so they upheld the law.
Well, no, they struck down the law.
They struck the law down.
But not because of separation of church and state.
No, just for some, any reason they struck it down would be bogus.
Yeah.
But they struck it down.
Yeah.
Okay. So the kids in Louisiana are still in a desperate need to know about their creator God.
As every other kid is in every other place.
In every other state in the country.
Yeah.
Maybe the only Christian country in the world is Tonga in the South Pacific. It's a little island. They have a Christian monarchy there.
Well,
we're going to have to call the king and ask
maybe
if they're
that's
teaching
where we
creation.
Ought to move.
Yeah, let's all go to Tonga. I actually have friends who used to give the king there. They go there every year for his birthday party.
Yeah.
They were entertainers, and he enjoyed
them. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, my dear friends from Honolulu.
Oh, wonderful.
But so Dr. Ed Boudreau, okay, so Jerry Bergman is coming in June,
mm-hmm.
and Slaughter of the Dissidents, and your story will be in his volume 3.
Right.
And his vestigial organs are fully functional. Do we know what topic he's going to speak on in June?
Haven't gotten his official topic yet, but I'm certain it'll be pertinent to what he's popular for.
And fabulous.
Yeah, right.
He's just so great. So that'll be what day of the month is the meetings?
The second Friday of every month.
Second Friday of every month. So second Friday in June 2010. This month is December, so the second Friday is tonight.
Tonight, yeah.
Tonight. And you'll be speaking. You'll be speaking. It'll be a great time. But next month, I think my co-host is speaking next month.
Yeah, Fred Williams is speaking.
Fred Williams, co-host of Real Science Friday, and his topic is going to be the highlights of creation.
Right.
And that's going to be fun because he's been a creation speaker for many years, and he has such a great website, Evolution Fairy Tale.
Right.
Is Fred's website.
Right.
What a great site.
Great site.
Okay, so now could we get to your topic for tonight, population?
Yeah, it's about human population growth. The normal approach to human population growth from demographers is that, you know, human population started millions of years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, then there was a very, very slow gradual growth until the time that civilization started to settle in several thousand years ago.
Yeah, which is only just, even by their standards, I mean, you look at the Middle East, and that's where you have the origin of language, right, and agriculture and architecture.
5,000 years.
Yeah, 5,000 years ago, you've got Ur of the Chaldees, you got Jericho. And that's where it began. And you've got Anatolia in Turkey, in eastern Turkey, central Turkey, where they got a museum with the oldest, like, the oldest iron implement in the world, a knife. And they say it's about 5,000 years old.
Right.
So, yeah, it started about then. So the evolutionists think
a biblical time frame.
A biblical time frame, isn't that? And just like mitochondrial Eve, too, she lived about 6,000 years ago, they say.
6,000 years ago.
Right? Because we had the flood after creation.
Yeah, sure.
But, okay, so they say the human population began millions of years ago?
Yeah. You know, the
Lucy and all?
Transition from apes to hominids.
Yeah.
To
Australopithecus and
all
that.
People. Then that slow, slow, gradual change over all that time. Then when civilization sets on it, suddenly a rapid rise, almost straight up.
Wow. Wow. And so
almost straight up.
All right. So civilization really quickly.
Really quickly. Wraps. And then it starts to level off as we come into recent times.
All right.
So it's an S-shaped curve.
All right.
Well, if you really start with, say, two people like Adam and Eve, or even six people like the sons and daughter-in-laws of Noah.
Right.
You can work out population relations that will be accurate in terms of the rate of growth. And in fact, if you set your parameters, say, from the flood, 2400 BC, I'm sorry, and then go ahead and you will proceed to get approximately 6.8 billion people.
Approximately the number of people we have today And population, population equations and all, population factors, that whole science wasn't developed to prove young Earth creationism.
Oh, no.
Not at all. No. But when you plug in their standard population growth formulas, they corroborate the history of the Bible, God's Word.
Yeah, when you derive it systematically, which I did, and, you know, using, say, the number of parents, number of children, the generations, everything you need in there, which I'll show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing is, let's suppose we backtrack that to 10,000 years of population growth, just 10,000 years.
All right.
Even if we allowed 50% every 1,000 years, total annihilation.
Total, like, for example, a famine or war.
Yeah, anything giving you 50% of the population is wiped out.
50%
every 1,000 years.
Every 1,000 years.
Okay.
If you started 10,000 years ago,
right,
you have what?
You end up...
Too many people.
You end up with a population today that would be about 100 trillion trillion.
It's just so unbelievable. Dr. Ed, it's hysterical. There are, like, Neanderthals, for example. We say Neanderthal here in America. The
yeah.
rest of the world says Neanderthals. There are hundreds of billions or trillions of missing skeletons of Neanderthals.
Oh, sure. In fact, if you had that many skeletons, the whole Earth would be nothing but skeletal remains.
Yeah.
Calcium,
right.
phosphorus.
And this is true of almost everything you think about. Like, for example, when meteorites hit the Earth, they have a high nickel content.
Yeah.
There's a lot of nickel in them.
Yeah, and other things. Yeah,
and other things. Yeah. But nickel is way more prevalent percentage-wise, maybe 1%, 5% nickel, than you find in the crust of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And if meteorites have been hitting the Earth for a billion years, let alone 5 billion years, we should be buried in nickel. But we're not. And so there are 1,000 ways to look at the physical world we live in and say, you know what? It doesn't match the atheistic paradigm.
No.
Like volcanic rock on the surface of the Earth, metamorphic rock. Well, just the amount of tonnage of volcanic of lava that flows on the Earth in a year, there's billions of years of missing volcanic rock on the crust on the
sure,
surface of the Earth.
Sure.
Billions of years.
Of course.
Everything we look at, there's billions of years of missing stuff.
When you critically look at all the parameters that affect the Earth or the environment, you can't get more than thousands of years. It's impossible. It becomes totally unrealistic scientifically.
Yeah, it really does. And so, well, for example, one of our favorite topics, Fred Williams and I, we love to laugh about carbon 14
mm-hmm.
because for two reasons. One, it's like every public school teacher in the country thinks carbon 14 proves the Earth is billions of years old.
Definitely not.
No, you were a professor of chemistry. Carbon 14 has a short half-life. And it can't prove anything is even a million years old because
it doesn't... Well, its half-life is 5,800 years about.
Yeah, it's half-life. And so maybe if there was something that was 80,000 years old, that would be on the extreme fringe of its possible dating ability.
Well, first of all, there's only certain things you can date by carbon-14. You can't date rocks.
No, right. No. Something that was alive.
It has to be organic.
And that was breathing in atmospheric carbon,
sure.
right?
Sure.
And so... But carbon-14 decays so rapidly.
Oh, yeah.
After 50, 100,000 years, it should all be gone.
Oh, yeah.
So that something would be called carbon dead, because all the carbon-14 should be gone if it was 100,000 years old, or even 50,000 years for most things. And as it turns out, when scientists look at things that are millions of years old, fossils and all, what do they find in it? They keep finding carbon-14.
Yeah, right.
And no
they
matter,
even find them in dinosaur remains.
Remains, and they find it in diamonds.
Yeah.
And coal and gas and oil and amber.
Amber.
What is amber? Amber is sap.
Yeah, sap that's fossilized.
Fossilized sap, and they say, this amber with these insects in it, and see, they look identical to modern insects.
Trapped in, identical.
Right? And even their social structure is identical to modern ants and all.
Mm-hmm.
They figure all that out, which is great. And they say, this piece of amber is 42 million years old.
Right.
And then we say, well, why is there carbon-14 smack dab in the middle of it? Shouldn't be any carbon-14. So they, So you're saying that human population also, and Fred Williams and I, we actually talked about this in brief back in March, March 9th of 2007. We talked about the human population as evidence that we have not evolved, because all the burial plots, all the skeletons, there should be millions of years of evidence of humans on the earth.
As I'm telling you, I mean, it's so phenomenal the amount you would get in 10,000 years.
In just,
you would have to have an earth that's just totally remains of skeletal bones.
In just 10,000 years.
Just 10,000 years.
All right. So tonight, this is going to be a topic that will be covered at the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship. Can you tell us where this will be?
That'll be at Bethlehem Lutheran Church Chapel.
All right.
On Wadsworth and 21st.
Wadsworth and 21st.
And 7 o'clock.
For people listening around the country, we have quite an audience in other states because of the internet.
Sure.
So they probably can't make it by tonight.
Oh, right.
But we could encourage them, because on our own website, kgov.com, we've got so many Real Science Friday shows. They could just go to kgov.com and click on Real Science Friday and have a great time.
Sure.
So,
well, they can go to our website, youngearth.org.
Yeah, let's talk about that, youngearth.org.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of resources there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Youngearth.org, what a good name of a website.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? You know, the history of that, I believe Daniel Hedrick, who founded a ministry called GodIsNowHere.org, and liberals read it God is nowhere.
Right.
God is now here.
Now here.
And I believe he got this site 10 years ago, youngearth.org, and donated it to the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship.
Well, God bless him. We need it.
Wasn't that neat?
It's great.
And so thank you, Daniel Hedrick, if you're listening right now.
By all means.
But so on that website, and I'm going there right now, Dr. Ed Boudreau, but people could find out pretty much what's going on with the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, and what time tonight does it start?
7 p.m.
7 p.m. So when an atheist hears that the scientists have proved that the earth is billions of years old and that we have evolved from apes, I think he's swallowing a lot that there's no justification for.
Of course.
Because in his schooling, he has only heard one side of the issue.
That's, of course.
That's my take on it.
That's right. That's the correct take.
Right? Because I went to public school. I went to public high school. I went to college. They don't say, oh, by the way, here's the massive holes in our theories. They don't say that.
They'll never point that out.
They don't tell them that we find carbon-14 diamonds. Are diamonds, you know, I went to public school, Dr. Ed. I haven't fully recovered. But aren't diamonds really hard?
Oh, very hard. Hardest. On the hardness scale, and one of the hardest substances known.
Okay, so if there's carbon-14 inside of a diamond, that's a pretty good place to keep something. You know, we talk about we don't want our specimens to become contaminated. Of course, that's a concern.
Sure.
In any lab, and so when they first started finding carbon-14 in whatever, fossils, amber, coal, they thought, well, the specimen got contaminated.
Right.
So we got to throw it out and start over. And they do this in clean rooms, and they take every human precaution, and they find carbon-14 anyway.
Sure. But a diamond, you know, is formed under extreme pressure and temperature.
Extreme?
Yeah, there's two forms of carbon. There's what's called graphitic carbon and diamond.
Right.
Diamond is totally symmetrical cubic structure.
Wow.
But graphitic carbon is in a sheet.
Okay.
Okay.
And so that that diamond truly is, what, the hardest substance on Earth?
It's, well, the hardest among materials naturally occurring.
Naturally occurring. And so what a perfect place. Talk about a perfect natural laboratory.
Yeah.
You want an experiment. Well, get a diamond and then cut it open and find out what's in the inside of it, in the middle of it, a perfect diamond, and they find carbon-14. And the science teacher whether it's at CU up in Boulder, the University of Colorado, or at Denver North High School, mm-hmm. they do not tell their students there's carbon 14 in diamonds.
Well,
they
nobody's going to say that because it's totally going to be contradictory to evolutionary concept.
Isn't that rude of them?
Oh, absolutely.
To these kids? I mean, KOA Radio has stumped the professor on Sunday mornings.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Stumped the professor. Do you think he's ever told his students there's carbon 14 in diamonds? You know, we got 50,000 watts on the radio right now. I want to put a challenge out to Stump the Professor. Tell your students there's carbon 14 in diamonds, Professor. Well, let them know.
From what I've heard from him, he's a dyed-in-the-wool evolutionist anyway. So.
He sure is. Yeah. I've called into his show. Yeah. I get a kick out of that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he got upset at me. I said something about the baby in the womb.
Oh.
He sort of chastised me. I'm not quite sure why.
Not why.
But anyway, so Dr. Ed Boudreau, thank you for serving as the president of the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship.
It's my pleasure.
It meets tonight at Wadsworth and 21st at what time again?
7 p.m.
7 o'clock. And it's in the chapel, which is good to say because Bethlehem Lutheran, that's
pretty
big
campus, yeah.
That's a big campus.
It's on the right-hand side as you enter the parking lot.
When you find the chapel, you still haven't found the place. It's a big, it's a big facility.
It's large, yeah.
So it's on the right-hand side of the parking lot.
Yeah.
And actually, you guys have a refreshment area as soon as people walk right
we
in the door.
We have books and tapes and CDs and stuff like that.
Yeah, so it'll be a great time. And people could put it on their calendars the second Friday of every month.
Second Friday of every month.
All right, 7 o'clock at Bethlehem Lutheran Chapel. Wadsworth and 21st.
Yes, indeed.
Dr. Ed Boudreau, thanks for coming back.
Thank you.
I'm thrilled you're going to be in Jerry Bergman's Volume 3.
Great, me too.
Well, good news. God bless you, Dr. Ed. And that book will be Slaughter of the Dissidents, Volume 3, like Ben Stein's movie Expelled. If you're in Colorado, here's what we need help with. We need help getting signatures. Maybe somebody out there could bring some petitions to Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship tonight and help Ed Massey get more signatures. And maybe some of the folks that want to carry petitions could go tonight to pick up a blank petition. So you'll hear about human population and the overwhelming evidence just on that one topic that the Bible's history is correct and evolutionists are wrong. And at the same time, you serve the Lord by picking up a personhood petition and getting signatures. Do you know we need 100,000 signatures to get on the ballot? 76,000, 49 or whatever. But Planned Parenthood and the ACLU will sue us when we turn in the signatures. They will try to throw out signatures. So when you sign it neatly and legibly and pick up a petition and help out. God bless you.